May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1129. Jesus, we come to meet with thee, our Lord and King, to bow before thy feet and hear thy praises sing. Compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away. 1129.
Thank you. Let us read together in the Holy Word of God from Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, reading chapters 4 and 5. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 4 and 5. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest for ever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskilful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Lord bless his own word of truth and grant us grace to pray. Almighty God, we venture once more before a throne of grace, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace. And Lord, we would pour out our heart before thee. Have compassion on us, we pray. Hear the prayer of our opening hymn. We pray that thou come amongst us and look upon us in mercy and compassion, that thou, Lord, wilt break the bread of life in our midst and feed every hungry soul, that there might be enough and that left over which may remain and be taken home. Lord, may there be that this day which shall be for our eternal profit, and that thou wilt please to rend the heavens and come down into our midst, that we might be delivered from ourselves, from our sins, from this world, from Satan's temptations, and that we might know what it is to spend an hour in thy house, in thy presence. Lord, come amongst us, we pray. All we do ask, look upon each need here. We pray that thou hast been mindful of each here who are now gathered before thee. May every need be supplied. We do pray that there might be something, a Lord, that might speak to us, that might come down to us where we are. Oh, we do pray for a word in season, crumbs from under the Master's table, that we be not left fainting, but we might find as Elijah did, when he was fainting, thou didst come to him and set before him a cruse of water and a cake, and he went in the strength of that for 40 days. And Lord, we do pray for that which might feed us and so strengthen us, not for this day only, but for that which is to come. And Lord, we do pray then that thou hear the prayer of thy people. And do remember their cries as they have now come to thy courts. We need thee to work salvation in us. Lord, we are dying men and unable to raise up ourselves and give ourselves a hope. And Lord, we need thee to prepare us for eternity. And we pray then now, may there be that wrought in us by thy Spirit which might remain, and that we might see, Lord, that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. May we know that drawing unto thee, whereby we shall know this. And Lord, do not stay at a distance from us. We do thank thee for thee, at mercies which have spared us and granted us sufficient health and strength to come once again to thy house. Lord, what a favour it is to be in the house of God. And may we prove it now to be this to us, a true Bethel, the house of God, and the gate of heaven. Thou hast drive from our minds all carnal thoughts, carnal appetites, carnal desires. Drive them away from us, and may we be helped to worship thee in spirit and in truth, as thou dost desire such to worship thee. Lord, we ask then for the help of thy Holy Spirit to be given to preacher and people. Lord, the preparation in the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord, and we well realize how great need of thee. If there is to be anything saving, real, vital, it must be thee. But may it be, Lord, I will work, and who shall let it? So come, we pray. And may there be that then, Lord, which meets special cases. For thou knowest, Lord, exactly where we are. Remember tried souls, cast down souls, burdened souls. Lord, deliver. Remember those in difficult circumstances, trials in their lives, to undertake for them. May we learn to hear the rod. Lord, to understand thy voice in every dispensation. Oh, make us wise children, we pray. Help us to hear. So, Lord, do remember us now. We would be truly thankful, Lord, for the mercies to the earth and to our land. We see the harvest beginning to come in. We would thank thee for thy faithfulness to the earth and to this guilty land, as we are so undeserving of all thy mercies. Lord, as we see then thy mercies such, we pray that we might prove thy mercy towards us. As we read in Isaiah about the waters of Noah, as thou hast sworn that they should no more go of the earth, so have I sworn that I will no more be wroth with thee. Lord, may we prove it so. Do bless thy Zion. It is a difficult day for us. And we pray, Lord, have mercy on us. Return in mercies unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. And send out thy Spirit, we pray, that we might see the real work of God in our churches. And that thou hast delivered us from the work of the flesh and that which is God dishonouring. O Lord, and that which is amiss and that which is lame, may we bring it to thee that it might be healed. Oh, we do ask, Lord, that thou wilt raise up more gospel ministers. We need the God of heaven and earth to do this. Do please have mercy on us. And we ask that there might be a people who might hear. Lord, may there yet be a people whom thou wilt raise up to serve thee. Oh, do fill the empty pews, we pray. There are some here, some at our own cause at home, and at many places. Oh, if it could please thee, gather in others, Lord. We want to see a souls truly wrought upon, lives changed, men brought to repentance, and gathered, Lord, as true seekers to thy house. Lord, we pray that we might see this work in our day. For surely our fathers have told us the work that thou hast done in their day. And now, Lord, we seek thee that thou wilt work a work in our day. We do thank thee for what thou hast done. We would be mindful of all thy mercies. Lord, every token that thou art still mindful of us. And we would be truly thankful, Lord. Oh, do bless thy church. Each one who has been so helped to put thee on in a open profession, stand by them. Remember the church here that thou hast placed and whom thou hast brought together around one table, around one communion, around one Lord, and one faith, one baptism. Oh, we pray that thou, Lord, wilt unite them. And may they be knit together and blessed together. And may their prayers be heard. And we ask, Lord, this for our own cause at home. Oh, hear the prayers we pray of thee, brethren. And do keep us, we pray, in a right exercise. We do pray, exercise us in all thy will. And give us grace as we are brought by grace to know thy will, to do thy will also. Lord, be with us. We do pray for the deacons, O Lord, to help them in their office, to give them much grace, and help them in all their labours, and as they seek to conduct the affairs of this house, we pray that thou hast helped them and uphold them. May they be helped at the desk, in the hymns and the reading services from time to time. So, Lord, do bless this people. Oh, remember us in our vast needs this day, we pray. And we pray for the children, Lord. May, Lord, they be wrought upon by thee, even whilst young in years, suffer to come unto thee. Lord, meet them, we pray. So bless this people, and remember it as we come now, Lord, and meet around thy word. Oh, help us, we pray. We, Lord, look to thee now, and plead the precious blood of Jesus. May all our sins be forgiven. May all our iniquities be pardoned. And we do pray that we might receive of thee, Lord's hand, double for all our sins. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
Yeah.
Let us turn to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, and taking for our text verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The apostle here is exhorting these poor, weak believers to bring all their care and all their need to a throne of grace. My dear friends, we have here an exhortation to us each. We who by grace have been taught our need, been taught our need of mercy and our need of grace, to be taking this to a throne of grace. The apostle says, let us therefore come boldly. What does the apostle set before these Hebrews? He sets before them one who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And friends, unless we realize who it is that fills his Father's throne, we cannot come, as the apostle says. How can we come boldly unless we realize who sits on the eternal throne? My friends, you get a glimpse of him and who he is, and then you can come boldly to a throne of grace. I say, so often perhaps we are timid in coming to him, so often perhaps ready to faint, turn away from him. And why is it? It's because we don't realize who he is. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and grace are such that none can ever ask too much. I tell you, who will turn you away, poor believer? It will be your adversary, the devil. He seeks to bring up an evil report about your Lord and Master, as he did in the Garden of Eden to Eve. Hath God said? Is God true? Or has he lied to you? And thou shalt not die, he said, contradicting the word of God. I say, friend, whatever he puts in your way, realize who it is that sits upon the eternal throne. You know, he came down from heaven with goodwill. It was goodwill towards men. And he has ascended up to heaven with goodwill for men. For he has ascended on high and received gifts for men, for the rebellious also. Yes, he sits on the eternal throne to hear the cry of the rebellious, the cry of sinners who have turned out of the way and are unworthy and unfit and unholy and undeserving that he should hear them. My friend, as long as you have the law of God before your eyes, why, it strips you of all your boldness. How can one riddled with sin, realizing the holiness of God and the exceeding broadness of his law, which goes to every point of the law, both physical and spiritual, how can one so unholy approach such a God? There is no access, you see. Why, he is a God who cannot be seen or approached unto, a God that hideth himself. But he, in great love, has made a way. And it's through this man, you see, by which we have access unto God. And it's by this, you see, he has made reconciliation for us. It's through the death of the cross. My friends, no longer then for the people of God is there a great wall of division. No, the veil was rent in twain, and he went into glory and sat down at the right hand of the Son of God, showing forth an open way to glory. No longer, my friend, is there a veil, but now an open way. It's been made clear. Everything in that old dispensation was mystical and symbolic. But now we have the true light shining as a light in a dark place. And we realize now the true way is Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth and the life. Let us then come boldly. For you see who it is, friend, that fills his Father's throne. An high priest. One who has ascended with his own sacrifice, his own precious blood. And as such, he is able to cleanse you from all your sin and sprinkle your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Christ has entered in with his own precious blood. He's died unto sin once, one offering for sin forever. Let us therefore come boldly unto a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. One offering, and the only blood that speaks peace. Yes, making peace through the blood of his cross. It is he, my friend, that sits upon the eternal throne and high priest. And then he offers his sacrifice before his Father, and his Father is well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, after the flood, when Noah offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God, God smelled a sweet savour. And in God's sight, that which is sweet is the sacrifice of his dear Son. You can think of Saul's sacrifice when he offered hastily in unbelief. It wasn't acceptable to God. But the offering of his dear people, offered by faith, You see, it's faith in that sacrifice of the Son of God is acceptable to him. And in this, our gospel day, those who come to him, their sacrifice of their prayers, how is it acceptable? It's through the offering of Christ. This boldness, then, we might say, is the boldness of faith. God-given faith wrought in the hearts of his dear people. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. When God kindles in their hearts some real, true realization of who he is, his person, his eternal work, what he has done, that he has suffered, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. We realize what he is, and then we can come boldly unto a throne of grace. Why, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so such who come boldly is a boldness of faith. And this is how all those poor and afflicted men and women came to Jesus Christ. The Lord had kindled in their heart some real belief that this man was able to make them whole. This man was able to save them. This man was able to help them. And as such, they came boldly. Didn't matter what they were, how hard was their case, and difficult was their affliction. Didn't matter. Because faith has the ability to bring you boldly, and the ability to lay aside that which is against you and stretch forward looking unto Jesus. This is the work of faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith takes you where nature would never take you. And faith enables you to come boldly unto a throne of grace. It's a necessary starting point, isn't it? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all those that diligently seek him. Let us therefore come boldly unto a throne of grace. How different from the boldness we see in so many who profess religion, the name of Christ. There is a zeal, a boldness, which is not of grace. This is the boldness of our poor old fallen nature. And sadly, is nothing less than presumption and a false boldness, not realizing who we are coming to, not realizing really what we're saying. And my friends, we have an example of this with the publican and the Pharisee that came up to the temple to pray. You hear the words of the Pharisee as he came up to the temple. He stood and prayed thus with himself: God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Great boldness. Why, he stood boldly. and he prayed to God. But my friends, the great matter here, you will note this. He asked for nothing. He thanked God what he was, but he asked for nothing. What does our word say here? Come boldly that we may obtain. And this man came boldly to obtain nothing. You see, my friends, the difference then between a false boldness and a true boldness. For there are many who take the name of Father upon their lips, and yet in their heart they don't really pray. They don't really need him. How different to the publican. Didn't seem to be very bold, did he? Why, he stood afar off. He could not so much as lift his eyes up unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Doesn't seem to be very bold. But the boldness which we are speaking of here, friend, is a boldness which asks that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's very different, friends, when you need something from someone. Very hard, perhaps, to go to one whom you're afraid of, or one you might think despises you, and ask something of him. And for a poor sinner to come to God to ask something needs a special kind of boldness. But that publican came, and it showed boldness, because it despite all that he had done, the life he'd lived, perhaps involved in petty thieving, I say, didn't matter. He came to the right place, and he asked the right thing, that he might obtain mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My friends, he came then to a throne of grace. What had the Lord spoken to ancient Israel? There will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. And this is where the dear publican came, into the temple, looking toward the mercy seat. My dear friends, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. He put his mouth in the dust. He pleaded for God, with God for mercy. And as such, he can be said to have come boldly. Come boldly unto a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Oh, to think, friend, that there is still a mercy seat, a place where God has said he will meet with sinners. God and sinners reconciled at a mercy seat, where Almighty God, the Holy One, the Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, will meet with unholy, vile, wretched, hell-deserving sinners. This is the place. And that mercy seat, of course, it speaks of Christ, that we may obtain mercy. And the blood was sprinkled there, that we may obtain mercy. Oh, mercy is a sweet sound to thee, prisoner. Those who are bound in affliction and iron, and they realize this. Poor sinners realize this. The Lord looseneth the prisoner. It is the Lord that will let go his captives, let go his prisoners. For in one sense, we are the Lord's prisoners. Not only Satan's indeed by nature, but we are the Lord's because we have sinned against his word. And my friends, we need the Lord to loosen us and to declare that we can go free and that we have found grace in his sight. We refer to Noah's day again, how that word is spoken of him amongst all those on the face of the earth. Yet one man, we read this, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It just speaks, my friends, of freeness, something coming unasked for so freely. The Lord opening his hand and being very merciful and very gracious. And this comes to sinners. Let us therefore come boldly unto a throne of grace. But those who come boldly, oh, how we need the help and influence of the Holy Ghost in all our askings. Why, we realize left to our flesh we will ask amiss. And we need Almighty God to give us the help of his Spirit as we bow before him in prayer. The Apostle spoke this, praying in the Holy Ghost. How vital to have his help as we come to a throne of grace. We read of him again in the Romans, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Boldness wrought by the Spirit of God. How we need him. Why, one comes to a throne of grace and he cannot order his words by reason of darkness. Doesn't know what to say. Doesn't know what to pray for. He can't give it even himself a heart to pray. And yet this boldness is the work of the Holy Ghost in a sinner's heart. The Holy Ghost prompting him to pray. Putting in him groans. Putting in him living desires. Why, this brings out a boldness in us. This enables us to pour out our heart before him and enable us to cast our burden on him, because the Spirit draws it out of us and interprets our needs to the Son of God. We do need the Spirit's help as we come before his throne of grace. Let us then come boldly unto the throne of grace. One other word which has come to mind is this. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. This is the confidence. This is our boldness. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. My friends, Oh, you will find boldness only, really, truly, as you ask according to his will. You say, how can I really discern the will of God? I say we firstly need, as we were saying, the help of his Spirit, that when we bring our matters before him, we might hear the teaching of his Spirit. I don't believe, my friends, the Lord will give us liberty to pray a prayer in the Spirit that will not be heard. For that indicted by the Lord will surely hear. And I say, if you've been given grace, faith, which sees that which is not seen, and the Holy Ghost to enable you to ask it, I say, in such a manner you're praying according to the will of God. We must go further than even this, friends, for I say the will of God is written in his word. If we ask anything contrary to the word of God, then we're asking amiss. And also anything that he may reveal to you that is not right, not for you, something that he has forbidden you personally, then you cannot be asking according to the will of God. But I say, when he helps you to pray, and when you get a glimpse of Emmanuel, God with us, and help to pour out your heart before him, then I say, this is a boldness according to the will of God, a confidence wrought by God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In many ways, these words in our text, they speak of the whole need of the people of God. Mercy, grace, help. Can we not in some way find our prayers included here? Obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. But you see here the ordering. Holy Ghost has seen fit to put mercy first, that we may obtain mercy. I believe when we first come to a throne of grace, we are a child of God, and we are in a right spirit. Mercy, my friends, will be the most vital and pressing matter with you. I've often noticed, friend, spirit of backsliding has come when carnal, earthly matters are first in our prayers. I believe when we are in a right spirit, mercy, our soul, is the most vital thing. And God will have us to live like this. We must live by faith and seeking a better country that isn't heavenly. And the Lord, if you're a child of God, will deal with you in such a way, he'll make your soul more important to you than anything else. He'll make it more vital to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To come firstly to obtain mercy, And when we come to him, why, we have a realization of who he is and who we are. And we cannot commence to order our words before him until we've obtained his favor. Esther comes to our mind when she went into the king to obtain a favor of him, to ask something of him. She must first touch his scepter and obtain his favor. And then she could ask. Is it not so here, friends? You've got to obtain his mercy before you can continue at the throne of grace. You're coming to a king, you see. You can't just fly into his presence. You come with this holy reverence, joined with this holy boldness. You need to obtain his mercy. There's some hope to spring up within you that he is hearing you and that he will hear you, that we may obtain mercy. Is this the first cry in your soul? Is this what you go out after, friend? You who seek those secret places, shut the door about thee and pray to your Father in secret. Is this what you're praying for? To obtain mercy? The Lord loves to hear the beggar's cry. Such a cry for mercy. My dear friends, he will not turn away his ear. Let us come boldly to obtain mercy. Esther obtained mercy, favor in the sight of the king, although it was not lawful for her to go unto him. And yet, if I perish, I perish. Come boldly. Be willing to lose everything that you might win Christ and be found in him. For there is a boldness needed. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's the force, my friend, living faith and holy desire wrought by the Spirit of God. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, what great times of need we have. Each of us, special times of need. We really need him to appear for us. Really need him to help us. I say, really, it has been said that every time is a time of need. If we come to a time when we don't need him, there must be something very wrong. Even perhaps when your desires are lame, you need him. It is to call upon him at all times. But this time of need, it may be a time of special need. God only knows. Friends, sometimes we're brought into pathways suddenly, unexpectedly, where a need arises. Perhaps some of you can see those times. Just in a moment, a phone call, a letter, some situation arises. You had not been looking for it. And yet suddenly you're thrust into a time of need. The mercy is, friends, that the throne of grace stands open all day to the poor and the needy, that not by the way. Wherever we are found, whatever situation comes upon us, there is a throne of grace. Doesn't matter where we are, whether we are found in the street, in the hospital ward, in our business, in our home, there is a throne of grace to help in time of need. This then speaks of an open way. Rather what Jacob saw when he lay down at Bethel. He saw a ladder set up upon the earth, whose top reached unto heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder. Is there not a type here of prayer ascending through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father and our Father, which is in heaven? And as he saw the angels descending upon the ladder, does this not speak of answers to those prayers? Are not his angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto his people? My friends, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Did not Christ say in the Garden of Gethsemane that he could ask for those many legions of angels in a moment, my friends? Why, he can raise up an army in a moment, as he did to Elisha and his servant, when they were surrounded, I believe it was the Syrians. He can raise up a host in a moment to your prayers. Do you realize who sits on the eternal throne? My friends, he can supply your need. Doesn't matter how great your need is. He has the host of heaven at his disposal. And if we only could see beyond nature, like Elisha's servant whose eyes were shut, if only we could see those things that aren't seen, then we would realize just what God is doing for us. Just what he's doing behind the scenes. And just perhaps because your prayer is not answered the way you might expect, be sure of this, that he is working his way, his will, and he will give you grace to help in time of need. The Lord will do his counsel concerning you, friends. He'll bring you by his way. And I believe there are many things which we pass through, which we perhaps seemingly feel the prayers are not answered. And yet, this word stands true. I believe the Lord will work for us, and that despite all our fears. But he will work in his way, according to the counsel of his own will. But despite whatever the outcome is, he has promised grace to help in time of need. As he said to the apostle, when he begged the Lord to take away that thorn in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Friends, whatever the outcome might be, my grace is sufficient for thee. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. This is the place where we obtain grace, where the grace comes to us. Yes, when you're in a moment where you're so unfit, so wretched, you can't go on the rest of the day unless the Lord takes away from you sinful thoughts, sinful inclinations. I say, you can come to a throne of grace, the place where he will give you the grace, take away evil thoughts, give you that sanctifying grace to be able to go on with your profession, enable you to meet the world and to meet others who conduct your daily affairs at the throne of grace. Some of the godly saints of old, I believe we read of Daniel, how he opened his window, he prayed morning, noon and night. My friends, whatever our set times, oh, this throne of grace is open all day. And we need to come to him to obtain this grace. Yes, and may we not delay. For I mentioned in prayer of the something the apostle spoke of, I believe in the 12th chapter of this book, make straight paths your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That which is lame, that which is ready to halt, that which is going wrong, that which is corrupting. Friends, instead of leaving it, as we might a sore or a wound, and it would only get worse. Instead of leaving it, we need to bring it immediately, that it might be healed. This is God's way. Friends, he would not that you should go on not asking. Was he said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you? This is God's way. Oh, bring it to him, that it might be healed. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. My friends, the Lord Jesus is not displeased with you coming. You might think you've been there before. You pray the same thing before. You have to confess the same sins again. This is the only way that God is pleased with. It's the only way he has provided. And turn away from this, we are out of the way. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Oh, if only we could realize who we are coming to, an high priest which cannot be touched. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This is the one. And friends, he stands as a great high priest who, we read of him, can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. I say, Christ, what a compassionate high priest he is. He truly feels at his heart the need of his people. This is what it is to have compassion upon another. you don't just sympathize with words. They mean nothing. If you truly have compassion on someone, you'll feel for them. You will be able to place yourself where they are, understand what they are passing through, and be able to put yourself in their shoes. Also, as it's in your power to do so, you will try to ease their complaint and minister to their needs. I say, such is Christ, his people. When you pray, friend, it's not just words, you know. It's not just words for you, and it's not just words to him, for he has compassion on the ignorant. This means he understands. This means he knows. This means he can truly sympathize. And in one sense, although this speaks of an earthly high priest, for he himself also is compassed with infirmity, of course we know Christ was no sinner, and yet we read of him that he took our sins and bore our infirmities. He took our afflictions and bore our infirmities. One who knew what it was to be afflicted and infirm, he chose indeed to suffer. So we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. Oh, this is who we come to. This is the one we address. This is the one that sits upon the throne of grace. Therefore, according to the apostle, considering this man, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord bless his word. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £610, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 90. Now begin the heavenly theme, sing aloud in Jesus' name, ye who his salvation prove, triumph in redeeming love. Hymn number 90.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost remain with us this day and for evermore. Amen.